All right, hello and welcome back. Been some time since we had an episode. A lot of things going on in our world right now. But today's kind of a special episode. Culper here. I'm going to have my father on, who's been alive for quite some time. He's seen a lot of historic events. And what we're going to do is pretty much run through major historical events from not his childhood, because, you know, we want to see if we can go in depth with stuff. But from when he's 18 years old on up until now.
I'm 71 next week.
So see what the thoughts were at the time. And yeah, we'll go from there. So we'll start with 1969. You would have been 18, correct?
That's correct, Culper.
All right. Yep. So let's start with, and again, if we hit one and you literally are just like, barely remember it, or I just didn't really care about it, mm-hmm. then we'll just move on to the next thing.
Sounds good.
Richard Nixon is inaugurated as the 37th president of the United States. What did you think at the time? Were you into politics? Did you really give a shit at all? Like, what was going on in your life, 1969?
Okay, well, at the time, I liked Richard Nixon for the most part. I liked him, even though I was still kind of a semi-liberal at the time, and a lot of my friends didn't like Nixon. They wanted the other guy. I think it was McGovern. And at the time, though, I kind of liked Richard Nixon. Yeah, at the time. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I guess, even though I didn't think of myself as having any conservative leanings, I guess I really did. Even then, even at that early age, pretty early age, I liked what he had to say. I liked his somewhat conservative bent that he had at the time. And that's why, one of the main reasons I liked him, yeah.
Alrighty, and that was January 20th, 1969, Nixon becomes the president.
That's it.
July 20th, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin land on the moon. What did you think when that happened? Did you watch? Wait, was that live? Was that on TV?
I watched it live.
It was, right? Yeah.
I think it was black and white at the time. I saw it live on TV, yeah, yeah.
What were you thinking in that moment?
I said, we're on the moon. This is huge. This is, you know, This is a big deal, and it was. No one had walked on the moon, and we were on the moon. Yeah, it was awesome. It was on TV. I sat there, watched it for hours. And
were you watching it with your friends, or were you by yourself, or you watch it with Mom?
No. I think my mother was out in the kitchen washing dishes or something. She kind of missed some of it, but my pals were, they were in the area on the porch. I was in Rosendale and up on the third floor, and they were... The TV's right in the front room, right next to the porch. And, between the porch, and they were in and out. And I pretty much sat glued to the TV because I was really, that really interested me, the whole historic thing of the, you know, landing on the moon. We're on the moon. Well, we're walking on the moon. And it was huge. The country was
now,
excited, yeah.
At that time, talking... Mid-1969, we're in the heat isn't the right word for it, but the middle of the Cold War, at the same time. What did you, were you guys, like, patriotic about it? Or is it, like, fuck the Soviets, like, we got to the moon before you type of thing
to a great degree, yeah, screw the Soviets, you know, America, for USA first, yeah, sure.
Did you have any Russian friends?
Russian friends?
Yeah, at the time. Or during the Cold War in general. Did you know any Russians?
No.
All right, well, there you go.
In a word, no.
Seeing us land on the moon, what, at the time, if you remember, and obviously as we get closer and closer to more recent stuff, like, you're going to have more memories, and you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. when we landed on the moon, what did you think about, like, the future? Because you always, I know, like, you always hear about stuff where it's like, oh, like, in the 1920s, people thought in 2020 we'd have flying cars and stuff like that.
Never happened.
So I'm curious, when you saw us land on the moon, like, what type of shit were you thinking, like, you know, 50 years from now, like, who, like, or 100 years from now, like, what did you think at the time?
Well, at the time, I thought, even though it hasn't come to fruition, but that people will be able to, you know, fly to the moon, maybe even go to other planets. It just opened up this whole vista of interplanetary travel. It was like, wow, this is some serious stuff.
Do you think people be living on the moon?
I think I had like thoughts that something could be possible, to, you know, to that effect. Yeah, I mean, obviously that hasn't happened, but at the time, yeah, you were thinking all kinds of things like, oh, this could really lead to something, you know.
All right,
quite a thing.
Do you remember when the National Guard shot the killed four students at Kent State, May 1st, 1970.
I remember it well. I remember it very well. And
it was an anti-Vietnam War protest.
Yeah, they were going on all the time, and they were going on that day at Kent State, and some idiot that gave the command.
Mm-hmm.
To open fire with live ammunition, you know, live rounds on college students who weren't armed, which is like, you know, they were making a lot of noise. Why would you open up on them? Fire, killed four of them, dead. There's pictures, famous pictures. One in particular I can picture right now, very famous. Have you seen that picture? The girl laying on the walkway there, and somebody kneeling down next to her, and it's like, what happened? What, like, in horror.
What was it horror, like?
You know?
Like, what did your friends and family talk about? Like, when that happened, what was the conversation at the time about it?
Well, as much as I thought of myself, I thought I was, you know, pretty somewhat patriotic. But when that happened for a while, I was like, what the hell is this? What's going on? You hated the government. They're killing kids at the college campuses. There's something really, really seriously wrong here. And, you know, for a while, you know, you hated the government, the president, the whole thing. And being a music kind of a aficionado, a week after that happened, Neil Young, who was a very popular singer.
Just took all his music off Spotify because he doesn't like Joe Rogan.
That's the same guy, Neil Young. Three days after it happened, he immediately recorded a song called Ohio. You're familiar with that, right?
I believe Helper? I am, yeah.
For Dead in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And he rush released it. It was out in the marketplace a week after those kids were killed. And the country was in an uproar, and it was a great tune. It was a horrible thing that happened that created this great tune. But it was out there, and the country was, you know, you had your hardcore hawks saying, you know, like, those fucking kids, you know, shouldn't have been protesting, they should have been pro-military, pro-country, and a lot of them weren't at that time. A lot of them weren't, and, you know, but it happened, and at the time, for a little while, I was real angry with the whole situation, the country, the National Guard, and who I've come to really love today, because of you, Culper.
Moving up to 1972, do you, well, I know you remember it, but like, what were you thinking when Nixon went to China?
72.
Because that was a big fucking moment in history when Nixon went to China, because I don't think any American had ever been to China, any American president had ever been to China. Do you remember that stuff?
Absolutely. And, I turned legal that year. I was 21 years of age in 1972, and that was a big deal. The relations with China, which I believe had been somewhat strained prior to that, got much better. Nixon, one of his claims to fame was he actually got the U.S. and and China were a lot friendlier with each other. And it was huge. Nixon, China.
Nixon's Secretary of State, Kissinger, was involved in that as well, right? John, Kissinger and Nixon
Henry
together.
Kissinger. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was
Did I say John? Did I say John Kissinger? Or did I just say Kissinger?
No, I think I was thinking, maybe I said John. No, it was Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger.
It was Henry Kissinger. And what was the question again?
Just he was that, like, it was him and Nixon doing this mainly.
The diplomacy was 90%, 80%, I'll say, Kissinger. Mm. And with obviously input from Nixon, you know. But Kissinger was heralded around the world as this great diplomat. He was still alive, and I think he's well into his 90s. It was a big deal. China, the U.S. relations warmed up a bit, yeah.
All right. What did you think about... and again, I'm trying to stick to, like, real, real interesting stuff. What did you think about when it came out that members of Nixon's re-election campaign had broken into the Watergate hotel and were, you know...
Well,
what did you...
That was a big black mark for Nixon, yeah. The Republicans, the whole party. Just, what I think is, you know, like, you know, what the hell are they thinking? And as the Watergate hearings went on, it got ugly. It got very ugly, and it put President Nixon in a real bad light.
He got reelected, though, after that had come out.
Because a lot of people still, still liked him, and to a great degree, I still liked him. I didn't, you know, for other reasons, one of them not being the fact that he had these so-called plumbers, they called them at the time. I forget why they called them plumbers. But anyway, they broke in and stole all kinds of material. It was a real black mark against the whole Republicans and Nixon. But, yeah, he still got elected. But, of course... it led to his being forced to resign from office in 73?
I believe so. We'll get to the resignation as it happens in history. And again, guys, we're basically following a timeline of American historical events. Nixon gets inaugurated January 20th, 1973, for the second time. January 22nd, 2 days after Nixon's inauguration, 1973, you have the landmark Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade legalizing abortion in the first trimester. So only in the first 3 months of a pregnancy. But now abortion federally is legal in the first trimester. When that happened, now this one, 1973, how old are you? You're 24? 23. Mm-hmm. What did you think at the time? Is it something you gave a shit about at the, like, right when it happened? Where, and again, that's what I'm interested in. Not, you know, you now, but when it happened, did you care about it? Did you not care about it? Were you, you know, like, what did you think at the time when it happened?
About Roe v. Wade?
Yeah.
At the time, I was, you know, still a young guy, you know, a little scatterbrained, thinking about having fun with my boys, and you know, going out to the bars and having fun. So I didn't really I didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. But as the years went on, I started thinking about it, you know, dead seriously, you know. And I think it was a bad move. It was a bad, bad move. It can't get much worse than that. But at the time, I wasn't quite as cerebral as I am today. I think about things. And, I mean, not just today, but a number of years. Bad move. As I look in hindsight, bad move. At the time...
Wasn't really on your mind that much at the time. Okay.
Yeah.
May through August 1973, the Senate Select Committee begins televised hearings to investigate the Watergate cover-up. Did you watch any of them?
Yeah, I did.
Did?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Very, very interesting. I always had an interest in politics and going back to watching, just jumping back a few years, I watched the JFK Nixon debates on television, presidential debates.
Nixon was sick, right, during them? Wasn't that like a big thing? Like JFK looked young and healthy, whereas like Nixon look like shit?
He did.
During the debate.
I don't think he was sick. I don't remember him being sick. But under the glare of the lights, he looked pasty and he was sweating. His upper lip was, and they commented, it was all over the newspapers and the news, that how he was sweating and he didn't look good. And you had JFK, this young, vibrant guy just banging it out of the park, you know? But I just went back 13 years, but I remember that very clearly. I think that's a message. Anyway, so, he didn't look, he looked sick, but he wasn't sick. But he was sweating under those lights, and JFK looked rock solid. He wasn't, not a bead of sweat on his brow. He looked good.
If you guys can't tell, my father was a fan of JFK. Anyway, the Watergate scandal, when the Senate hearings were happening, you said you watched them. What were you thinking during them? Because you like Nixon. You said that was the first president you ever voted for, right?
Right.
For
right,
Nixon's right. re-election.
Re-election.
So were you like, you know, fuck these people going after our guy? Or was it like, you know, what were you thinking?
Well, initially, yeah. Fuck these people. They're trying to bring down a good guy, whatever. But as it progressed and the facts became better known, what happened and the whole situation, it just said, well, this isn't good. He made a bad move, and actually it was by 74, I guess, that he actually had to resign the presidency. First and only time a president, I believe, has ever resigned from office while he was, in office. As the facts came out, the more facts that came out, I was really kind of glued to the... I really enjoyed watching anything politically motivated, and it was interesting. It was interesting seeing the downfall of a pretty popular president up until that point, a pretty popular president. And as he got pretty much shown the door, ushered right out the door. That was it.
All right.
That was the end of him. And end of Tricky Dick, as they used to call him. You know?
All right, we're going to jump up to January 20th, 1977. How old are you, January 20th, 1977?
Hold on a second. 26.
26 years old. On that date, Jimmy Carter is inaugurated as the 39th president of the United States.
Uh-huh.
What did you think at the time? Did you vote for Carter or did you vote for... you ran against Ford, right? Gerald Ford was running for the Republicans?
Right, right. At the time, I believe I did actually voted for... I was still a Democrat. Still leaning right, but still a Democrat. So I believe I ended up voting for Jimmy Carter. As his presidency went on, I realized he was pretty weak. He was a Navy veteran. He was a doctor of whatever. He had all kinds of doctorates, and he was a smart guy, but he was weak. He had no stones. He was just weak, especially culminating with the 1979 when the Iran. Took was it 400 American hostages,
mm-hmm.
and they were held hostage in Tehran for, if I'm not mistaken, 444 days exactly, over a year, and they were released the day Carter was out of office and Ronald Reagan became president. The Iranians waited for Reagan. They knew that Carter wasn't going to do beans, and he didn't. Reagan came in, and they knew this guy wasn't, you know, they knew he was a hawk. And they didn't want to fuck with him. The day Reagan became president, Tehran released all 444, hostages. And but for the longest time, those 444 days, every night on the news, you'd see the Americans being paraded around, blindfolded. It was ugly. I mean, he was. They were saying, fuck you. They were saying, fuck you, America. But it all changed when Ronald Reagan came into office. They released those people in a hurry. And there was a reason for that.
So I want to get to Reagan. But since I do want to hit multiple other just, you know, cultural stuff, things like that, major events, not just the political.
It made me think of that.
Yeah. I think when most people think of Jimmy Carter, they also think of Reagan. I think the two go hand in hand. If you talk about Carter, Reagan's part of it. You know what I mean?
Reagan relieved Carter of his presidency.
Yeah. But
Carter was one of the few one-term presidents. A lot of presidents got a second term.
Yeah.
Carter was one term and hit the road. That was it.
Do you remember the malfunction at Three Mile Island, the nuclear reactor in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Do you remember that? Was that like a big thing to you when it happened? Like, again, remember, I want to know you, not just Americans, you.
Well, I was affected by the news and newspapers and TV news, and because I like today, you know me, I like the news and I like the papers. I was young, I was into the whole news, and that was a big, that was all over the papers for months, I don't know, longer. Yeah, Three Mile Island, I forget how the number of people died, didn't they?
I'm not going to lie, I don't know.
I don't remember exactly, but people, they weren't like necessarily dead on the spot, but as time went on, a lot of people got cancer due to that whole, Three Mile Island situation, and the people died as time went on because of that.
Right,
so,
right.
It got worse and worse as time went on. It didn't get any better, you know?
So, 1981, January 20th. Ronald Reagan is inaugurated as the 40th president of the United States. Like you said, it's the same day. January 20th, U.S. hostages in Iran are released after 444 days in captivity.
Out the door.
Yeah. Did you vote for Reagan? Who did Reagan run against?
You had to ask me that, didn't you? I voted for Reagan. I'm trying to recall. Who did he run against?
Mondale?
Reagan-Mondale, yeah.
Or was that the re-election?
That might actually have been the re-election.
Mondale, either way.
Mondale-Ferraro, who was the first woman to run for vice president. Yeah. Anyway, I did vote for Ronald Reagan, yeah.
Did you... Now, you said you were a Democrat. Were you a Democrat when you voted for Reagan? Or had you switched parties at this point, if you remember?
We're talking 80... at this point...
The election would have been 1980.
Yeah, I was... you know something? I think it was just before I went... turned Republican. But if my memory serves me correctly, I was still a registered Democrat. But I was on my way out the door of the Democratic Party. I think I was still a Democrat, but it was near the end of my time as a Democrat. I voted for the Republican. And after that, shortly after that, within the next couple of years, I became a registered Republican, which I still am to this day, and I'm proud of it.
Did Jimmy Carter's ineffectiveness as president... Because you said you had always kind of been a conservative Democrat.
Yep.
Did Jimmy Carter's effectively...
my retreat from
Democratic Party? Yeah, did his ineffectiveness as president make you kind of be like, all right,
time to bail, time to jump ship and become a Republican. Yeah, he had a lot to do with it. Yeah. because he was weak, and he was perceived as weak, and he proved that he was weak.
So,
you know,
we jump up to March 30th, 1981. John Hinckley Jr. shoots Reagan in the chest. When that happens, when you hear about that, what do you think? Because you had already seen a presidential assassination. You saw Jack Kennedy get killed.
I saw it.
So what did you think in this moment with Reagan getting shot?
Boom, there was a news, and there was a video of Reagan coming out of I forget the name of the hotel, but right there in Washington, D.C. And I've been to the spot, right at that door where he walked out. I've been there. And, it was President of the United States, an attempted assassination. You saw the whole thing on the news. It was all videotaped. And you see Hinckley open fire with, I think it was a 38 caliber handgun. And he squeezed off a few rounds. He shot a D.C. a police officer. And you see the cop go down. He shot Reagan's main guys. What was his name? The name escapes me right now.
A Secret Service agent or like a
Secret Service agent was shot, and he's on the sidewalk along with Brady, who was a guy named James Brady, who was Reagan's in the cabinet. I forget what the position was, but high-ranking cabinet member got it right in the head, took a shot to the head. And he's down on the sidewalk, and people are trying to tend to him.
Did Reagan go down?
And Reagan, I'm getting to that. I just worked my way over to, and Reagan had looked to his left, where in the area where Hinckley was, and the shots went off, and one of the Secret Service agents, a look came on Reagan's face, like, well, what's that? And the Secret Service agent hustled President Reagan, pushed him into the back of the limo, and they were out of there. They just took off quickly. And have you ever seen the video, James?
I have.
Pepper.
I don't remember, though. Did Reagan go down? Or no? Did he get hit and was still standing?
Got hit under the left armpit. And he was, right as he was hit,
oh, so he didn't even have time to fall down. The Secret Service laid him out into the limo.
He was on the floor of the car. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It was like...
Fucking... fucking wild.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit. Like, in that moment.
Culpepper, do you say you've seen the video? Have you seen the video?
I have, not a long time.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. It's quite a thing.
All right.
Quite a thing.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. 1986, January 28th. How old are you? 86. 1986, January 28th.
86?
35 years old. You're getting up there.
All right, take it easy.
A little bit.
Take it
You're
easy.
Like a legitimate adult at 35. January 28th, the Space Shuttle Challenger explodes 73 seconds after liftoff, killing all seven crew members, and it is the worst accident in the history of the U.S. space program.
Saw it live.
What was your reaction? What did you think?
Horror. It was horror. I was watching it with a good friend of mine at the time, Joe Bernard, and me and Joe were visiting his sister in Roslindale one day, and TV was on, and here comes the it's a big deal. Here comes the launch, and 74 seconds into the flight, the thing blew up, and you could see the horror on people's faces, and the camera went a tight shot of the parents of the school teacher there. First school teacher to ever go up in space, and her name escapes me at the moment, but she's from New Hampshire, and her along with six other people were all instantly killed, and it was a horrible day for America. And I watched it live. I was watching it live on television. being shown live. And it was just a big, sad, it was just a sad day to see that happen, and especially this first school teacher, first time up in space, who was from New England, from New Hampshire, not far from, you know, here in Boston, like a neighbor just about, and yes, it was a sad, sad day.
November 1986, the Iran-Contra scandal breaks when the White House is forced to reveal secret arms for hostages deals. Were you paying attention to this when this happened?
Let me think for a second. I remember it. For some reason, something else had my attention. So I wouldn't go into detail on exactly what happened, but I mean, I certainly knew about it, read about it, saw it all over the news, and but for some reason I just wasn't quite as interested in that particular story. But it was a big story though. Yeah.
All right, June 12th, 1987, in a speech in Berlin, President Reagan challenges Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down this wall and open Eastern Europe to political and economic reform.
That was huge.
Shortly thereafter, you see Reagan and Gorbachev sign a nuclear arms reduction treaty.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that? Because you're an adult. You're 35 years old. Like, mm-hmm. You're probably a lot more aware of the world than you were, you know, fucking 18 years old. What were you thinking? Because we've been in the Cold War for years at this point, almost fucking 30 years.
We've
been dealing with the Soviets at this point. Your whole life. The Soviets have been the enemy, the bad guy, your entire life up to this point.
Cold War, as I described it. Oh, that was really big. That was a big deal. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it rang out around the world.
Did Reagan have Alzheimer's yet?
Well, if he did, it wasn't... It wasn't noticeable. No.
Didn't he get Alzheimer's at the end of his time in office? Wasn't he like... Didn't he disappear from the public eye?
It was still the early stages. Alzheimer's didn't really kick in until he was... I mean, kick in big time until he was out of office. It may have started while he was in office, but it wasn't really, really noticeable until he was out of office, and then it became kind of evident that, you know, he was sick, yeah.
March 24th, 1989. The oil tanker Exxon Valdez runs aground in Prince William Sound, spilling more than 10 million gallons of oil, the largest oil spill in history.
Disastrous. I remember it well.
What was the feeling on the ground for you as an American, your friends, all that good stuff? What were you thinking? What was the talk about that?
Well, how could that happen? You know, how could that happen? Something like that, and just that it polluted polluted the ocean. I mean, and you know, you see footage on the news showing sea mammals dead, you know, floating in the ocean. It was horrible. It's just it was a nightmare. The Valdez, and it's just a catastrophe. Just a mess. Yeah, no, I remember it well.
Did that make you more environmentally concerned at all? Or what were your kind of environmental feelings at the time?
Matches.
I got the matches right here. We are smoking. Ah!
There you go.
As I spill matches everywhere. We are smoking cigars per usual on this podcast right now. As we relight, what did you and others think environmentally at the time, both before and after the Valdez incident? Because, we're getting a call. We'll be right back, guys. All right, we're back. Sorry for the interruption there, guys. had to take a phone call. But anyway, environmental feelings at the time of the Exxon Valdez or Valdez.
I think they pronounced it Valdez at the time, but yeah. Valdez.
So what did you think environmentally around that time? Were you really, like, conscious of the environment? Like,
well, to a degree, but I wasn't alarmed to the point where I figured that they would, it's something that they would clean up, although it was a huge, huge cleanup that was attempted, and a lot of sea life never survived, and which was sad. Being an animal type person, you hate to see any animal like that, you know, killed, and now they were killed. But having said that, I didn't go on an environmental tear as far as, mm-hmm. you know, becoming that environmentally aware. But at the time, you knew it.
Okay.
It was a bad situation. Yeah.
Do you remember or have any feelings at the time about December 20th, 1989? U.S. forces invade Panama in an attempt to capture General Manuel Noriega.
Noriega.
Who had been indicted in the U.S. on drug trafficking charges. Was that something you gave a shit about at the time, or was it just kind of one of those things in the background for you? Or were you paying attention? Like, were you engaged in it?
No, I knew about it, but I didn't pay, you know, I wasn't that concerned about it at the time. Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't happening right in my backyard, so I didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about it, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. We'll jump up to August 2nd, 1990. You now have a newborn child, correct? August 2nd, 1990, you have a newborn.
Yeah, right? He had been born in January, so he was, what was he, about 6 months old, whatever it was.
August 2nd, 1990, Iraqi troops invade Kuwait, leading to the Persian Gulf War. Mm-hmm. Then February 28th, 1991, Persian Gulf War, U.S. leads international coalition and military operation Desert Storm to drive the Iraqis out of Kuwait. What are you thinking during this? Again, now, like, there's a whole new world because you got a newborn and we're getting involved in a war in the Middle East against Iraq and Saddam.
I remember well, and but like other events, I didn't really spend an awful lot of time, worrying about it. But it was, yeah, you knew we were at war. Yeah,
it was also very, very short, too, the right. Persian Gulf War, because it's literally over by April of the same year.
Was it that quick? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember it wasn't that long.
We crushed them. It wasn't. All right, now we get to a real big one here.
Uh-oh.
1992, February 2nd, 1992, the Soviet Union has dissolved in December of 1991. President Bush and Russian President Boris Yeltsin meet at Camp David and formally declare an end to the Cold War. What was that like for you in that moment? Like, and again, you grew up. From the day you were born, we were in the Cold War. Mm-hmm. All the way up until this point now. And how old are you now? We're hitting 92. Early 1992.
Hold on a second. I was 41 years old.
So you're 41. You got a young kid now,
yeah.
And the enemy that you've effectively known your whole life,
my whole life, yeah, right.
Is gone. The Soviet Union's gone. Cold War's over.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Oh, it was a relief. That's the first word that comes to me. Instead of always being at loggerheads, you know, when are we going to attack? When are we going to attack them? That whole thing ended. It was just a huge relief. Air was let out of the balloon. It was like, man, this is great. This is great. The one big thing not to have to worry about anymore, because people was always had that fear something horrible could happen, and at least that part of things changed big time. It ended. It's like I say, a giant relief.
And when you were growing up, like, I always hear, and again, I wasn't alive, so I don't know, but when I was here, and I'm curious if this really was the case, that growing up during the Cold War, especially, I mean, Jesus Christ, you're growing up in the 50s with, the prime 50s, 60s, prime Cold War years, like
Eisenhower, JFK,
Gorbachev, Khrushchev, all this shit. Hell, Stalin for a short period of time in the very beginning of your life. Not that you remember it, but...
No, I wouldn't
remember
that.
But was the fear of nuclear war... It's always like... Did you have those emergency drills at school where you'd hide under a fucking desk in the event of a nuclear bomb? Which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, is that real? Like...
Well, it happened. That did happen. But, quite frankly, I don't remember having to do that in the school I was in. So, but it happened. Yeah, it happened a lot. You'd see news accounts of it and kids, ducking under their desks. I don't believe I ever had to do that, though. I don't remember that at all. So,
okay.
I don't think I did either. That or I just don't remember at all. I really don't remember that happening. So,
was the fear of nuclear war, like were you thinking about it? Because obviously, when you learn about history, it's the U.S. versus the Soviet Union during the Cold War, and there's both of them are nuclear powers, and they have massive nuclear weapons arsenals. You have the Cuban Missile Crisis, all this stuff. Like, did you guys talk about that? Was that, like, a thing where it was like, holy shit? Like, because I grew up where the U.S. does not have a military equal on the planet. We don't. To this day, there's no other country in the world that can match us militarily. Mm-hmm. But for you, growing up, I mean, the Soviets... could, like, they could. The Soviets had the capability to match us.
Oh, yeah, the enemy.
For the most part,
the enemy was out there, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck was that like, having... like, because it's literally something I can't comprehend. I've always grown up with, we are the superpower, we're the juggernaut, no one can fuck with us. But it's like, that's not what... I mean, obviously, I'm sure that was some of, like, the, patriotic shit you would have at the time, is no one can fuck with us. But... at the same time, you also recognize it's like the Soviets are strong. Like, they're powerful.
Well, it was always in the back of my mind. And a lot of people, I'm sure, was in the back of their minds. But you lived your life. You didn't really dwell on it. But you knew, like I say, in the back of your mind, that this thing could really go downhill quick. And luckily it didn't. But you were always aware of it. I didn't lose sleep over it. Like you said earlier, I was thinking about my first child and working, trying to, raise the first child. Another one coming pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So I was more focused on family life.
Gotcha. Okay.
You never lost sight of it.
All right. April 29th, 1992. The acquittal of four white police officers charged in the 1991 beating of black motorist Rodney King in Los Angeles sets off several days of rioting, leading to more than 50 deaths, thousands of injuries and arrests, and $1 billion in property damage. Mm-hmm. Take me through that when you... I mean, obviously, it was in fucking Los Angeles, so it's not like... fucking, you were in Massachusetts having crazy shit going on. But
other side of the country. But you turned on the news that night, and that's all you saw. And that's all you saw for a while. You know, the one thing I in particular that I remember about it was there was a truck driver in his truck cab, and there's a video of this beamed around the world. Have you ever seen that by any chance?
Again, I've seen it, but not in a
long. They pull the guy out of his rig and beat him half to death. Beat him half to death. And
I was gonna say they fucked Rodney King up.
Oh, the cops. Like, yeah, oh yeah. Half a dozen of them. I don't know how many cops there were, but yeah, that's a good way to put it. They they fucked him up big time, and the city exploded. Back to this again, baby. We hadn't seen anything like that in quite a while. Riots broke out. Yeah, it was just, like you say, $1 billion in damages to the town, and that's probably equal to several billion today. It was just a bad, bad scene. It was a horrible scene. And the cops, you know, pretty much brought it on themselves.
I remember the famous picture of the Koreans on the rooftops with rifles. Because the Korean, what was it? The police wouldn't protect Koreans, right? The Korean neighborhoods, they were just like, didn't give a shit about them.
They were being burnt to the ground, and the cops didn't want to go in there. They didn't want to get killed, you know? They didn't want to die. So it was more pretty much a perimeter set up around the area. Mm. But we really didn't breach that area. Very often they kept the distance, but city blew up. LA just it was horrible. It was a nightmare. People killed. Like I said, at the time it was $1 billion in damages. Businesses just wiped out, burned to the ground.
Did anything happen in Massachusetts? Were there any riots in Massachusetts about it or anything like that? Because, like, you see today, like, the stuff when George Floyd got killed by those cops mm-hmm. in Minneapolis, like, you saw other riots happen in countries around the, in states around the country. Like,
yeah.
Did anything like that, did Massachusetts have any, like, did anything impact Massachusetts from that, like, in the moment?
Yeah, yeah.
That you can remember.
I understand what you're saying. From what I can recall, I mean, there were protests in Boston, people, you know, walking, to the State House, City Hall, just protesting. But Massachusetts, and in the Boston area in particular that I'm familiar with, it still remained relatively calm. One thing about Massachusetts and the Boston area in particular, it never really exploded here. The only time, just going back, jumping back a few decades, when MLK was assassinated down in Memphis at the Lorraine Motel, I remember it clearly, on the balcony of the hotel, motel, whatever it was. Boston, that's the only time that I can recall where Boston really exploded, but not the entire city, but the black areas, the Roxbury's in particular, there was, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. People were up in arms. They went crazy. And, you weren't going to drive anywhere near those areas because people were pissed. People were angry. People were sad that their, most famous black leader of all time, was put down like that. It was like, But beyond just the local Boston area, certain neighborhoods, that's where it happened. That's where things got crazy. But that was it. It didn't last forever. It lasted for a while. And and then things calmed down fairly quickly. It took a while. I don't remember exactly, weeks, months. I figure it didn't last an awful long time, but for a while people were like, you know, if you were driving through Roxbury, you're liable to get a rock through your window or something. Like that. Which was, you know,
December 1992, President George H.W. Bush sends U.S. troops to Somalia. Remember that? That's what Black Hawk Down's about.
Okay, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, like I say, by then, everything had become right at your fingertips. You turn on the TV and there it was. So, you know, you couldn't miss it. Newspaper accounts, television news accounts, it was all there. And, I wasn't, you know, really a real military kind of person. I didn't really hone in on it that deeply, but I was very well aware of what happened.
Cool.
You know, and yeah, it was another, you know, ugly time.
January 20th, 1993, Bill Clinton is inaugurated as the 42nd president of the United States. What do you think when Clinton got elected? Did you vote for Clinton, or did you vote for H.W. Bush to be reelected?
By then, I was, I think I was a Republican. Pretty close. No, I was a Republican, I think, by then. I voted for Bush.
What do you think when Clinton won? Because you've told me before, you know, that you don't think Clinton was an awful president.
No, he did some positive things, no doubt about it. I mean, to a great degree, brought the country together. But as time went on, he became, he wasn't what he appeared to be. You know, Turned out to be a louse. But at the time, though, it was the Democrats. You know, they won fair and square, I think, and he definitely did some positive things for the country, and he was liked, obviously, by a lot of people, enough to get elected two times.
Yeah.
He was elected twice, or re-elected once, whatever, two times, two-time president, and...
When he got elected, were you... Because, I feel like that in our last couple elections, it's been so heated, where it's like, this is the end of the country. Like, in the last couple elections, did you feel that way as a Republican when Bill Clinton got elected, or was it just kind of like, fuck, like, damn it, we fucking lost.
My guy lost, and it was pretty much like that, you know.
Like, you didn't look at Bill Clinton as, he's going to destroy our country.
No, okay. No, I never looked at him like that. Some people probably did, maybe more hardcore Republicans. At the time, I was more still a moderate Republican, not quite a hardcore Republican like I became as time went on.
Okay.
Like I am today. I didn't think the evil Clinton is in the White House. No, I never thought of that. No, never looked at him like that.
February 26, 1993, bomb explodes in the basement garage of the World Trade Center, killing 6, injuring 1,000, and causing $500 million in damage.
I remember that very well, yeah.
What do we think? Did you... I remember correctly, that was an Islamic terror attack.
It was deemed a terrorist attack, yeah. Terrorist attack,
and it was a failure. Because they were trying to blow up the fucking World Trade Center, weren't they?
Right. So they caused quite a bit of damage and 6 people died. But nothing coming close to what happened a few years later in 2001, 9/11. But so it was big as far as people died. And the fact that it was terrorists who did it. First time, I guess, we had really been attacked on American soil by the terrorists, and but you didn't think you were going to see what was coming down the road,
right?
but it was, yeah, it was a bomb, I guess, in the basement of the, in the parking garage of the World Trade Center. Caused a lot of damage and killed 6 people, but, I mean, the buildings are still stood, and unlike what happened, you know, us, what, 8 years later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, right. still, yeah, it was still a big story, a big thing. Yeah.
Same year, April 19th, 93. After a 51-day standoff with federal agents, the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, burns to the ground, killing 80 cult members.
Koresh.
David Koresh.
I remember.
What'd you think during that? Well, because that was on TV, right? Like, that was like a big news story.
Watched it every day. Yeah, there it was. And leading up to the end of it, with the federal agents surrounding the place, and it went on for before the Koresh burnt the place down and killed everybody, including himself. It went on for weeks, I guess. The build-up to it, you know, that we had them surrounded, but they weren't coming out, and they were armed. But some federal agents, and ATF guys were killed during the standoff, and finally, as we were going in, we were making a move to go into the compound with the heavy equipment, heavy trucks that were literally bulldozing, knocking the building down.
Yeah, didn't the government kill all those people?
Well, you could say, they got it going, and then finally, the place, Koresh just struck a match, and he just said, "We're not going to be taken out of here. We're not going to be taken alive, and we're just going to, you know." He was insane. Correct, David Koresh. He had this cult. He was a cult leader. Had all these people following him, and the place burnt the place to the ground. You saw all the days leading up to it, and then you saw it in the end of the inferno, and very sad. A lot of kids died. Little babies, adolescents, children, along with the adults, they were all incinerated. And I remember it very, very well. Yeah, they've made movies about it. Yeah.
All right, jump up to 1995. I'm alive at this point.
I was about to say.
So
now I was a father of two.
You have two young kids. Mm-hmm. April 19th, 1995, bombing a federal office building in Oklahoma City kills 168 people.
I remember that well, really, really well. First time that I can remember, we had an American terrorist. This wasn't a terrorist from another country. This was a guy.
Was the Unabomber after him?
I forget the exact time of events. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, with the mail bombings and whatnot. What are you talking about again? I just lost my train.
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. The Murrah building. I still remember that.
Wasn't it an IRS building? Isn't that what it was? Wasn't he?
When it happened, it was called, the building was the Murrah Federal Building. Murrah. Murrah, named after somebody in government there. And
am I thinking of the wrong thing? Didn't he fly a plane into the building? Or am I thinking of something else?
Thinking of something else. He didn't. He had a rented a Ryder truck, big box truck,
mm-hmm.
laden with a lot of explosives. Was it uranium, whatever? Just loaded, and they detonated the truck, and there was nothing left of the truck, and there wasn't much left of the building. It blew out an entire side of the building. Maybe you've seen pictures.
I definitely have, yeah. Wait, what the fuck am I thinking of? Didn't some guy fly a plane into an IRS building?
A plane into an IRS building. It couldn't have been that big.
No, it was like a, it was a Cessna.
Right. Like, so it wasn't like a lot of life lost or anything. I don't remember exactly that one. That wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it was horrible for what happened there, but it wasn't. The Murrah building, that was a different thing. A federal building, and Timothy McVeigh, who was a Army veteran. Ring a bell, Timothy McVeigh?
Yeah. Am I thinking of...
Plane in the building, I don't remember that one.
2010 Austin suicide attack.
Austin, Texas?
Andrew Joseph Stack crashed a single-engine Dakota light aircraft into an IRS building.
Yeah, okay. 2010. The more I think about it, yeah, I remember hearing about it, but it was a relatively small thing. There wasn't like a lot of loss of life or anything. He might have been one of the few people, or the only person that died that I can remember. But going back to Oklahoma City, that was a shock for the country that we had an American terrorist. It was done by an American, an Army veteran on top of it. It's like, you know, you wouldn't be expecting that to be the person that would do it. And, 168 people died. Horrible, just all over the news. And there was a big daycare center on that side of the building.
He killed all the kids, right?
Took care of a lot of kids. None of them survived. It was just people crying in the streets. It's like, this is a disaster. A few years later, they took care of McVeigh. They gave him the, put him to sleep with the
death penalty. Lethal injection.
Lethal injection.
How about December 1995, when the United States ends up sending thousands of troops into Bosnia and the Balkans?
Yeah, and
you remember that? Because that, I feel that's like something that gets completely like forgotten about.
That was considered a war, wasn't it?
It wasn't. We haven't had a declared war since World War II, but I guess, yeah. I mean, it was fucking fighting, yeah.
And you had to be aware of it because it was all over the news again. I mean, we reached a point where anything happened, it was all over the news, and click on the TV, and boom, there it was. And at the time, just like with the first child that I had, I had two children at the time, as you know, you came along in 93, and this is what, 95?
Yeah.
And I was still really focused on family. That was my main priority. No matter what's going on in the world, my task in life at that time was to take care of my wife, you and your brother, go to work, bang out a paycheck, make sure everybody's eating and food on the table. As much as I was aware of what happened, not something that I really, really focused on an awful lot. Once it had happened, you're aware of it. I had other things to really worry about closer to home. You know?
How about 1999? NATO, including the United States, wages air campaign against Yugoslavia over killing and deportation of ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. Do you remember that? Us going in and fighting the Yugoslavs? Wasn't it Tito?
President Tito.
Wasn't he the leader of Yugoslavia at the time?
He was at the time, yeah. They called him a strong man. Was that the guy? They called him a strong man. Yeah. Tough guy or whatever.
And that same year, there's the school shooting at Columbine in Littleton, Colorado. 14 students, including the two shooters, dead. One teacher dead. 23 others wounded.
The beginning of school shootings. Yep.
I mean, seriously. Like, that shit didn't fucking...
Got things going. And of course, today, you've heard about it many times since. But, Columbine, it was just another tragedy for the country, and I guess the country was kind of just going in the direction, and it wasn't good.
Now it seems like that's like a fucking common thing. It gets
your attention when you see it on the news. It's like, oh, Jesus, another school shooting. But, you don't lose sleep over it because, it saddens you. How could this happen? And beyond that, just trying to focus on, keeping it together, that was my main focus.
How about in 2000, when there was no clear winner between Al Gore and George W. Bush? Because, that was fucking wild. Like, again, I was little when that happened, but, I'm aware that must have been insane. Like, where it's like, what the fuck? Like, who the fuck's our president?
Yeah, and it went on for quite some time. How long did it go on? A number of weeks, like a few months, I think, until they counted, recounted, and recounted again the ballots. And down in Florida, there was some kind of a controversy on how the ballots were counted, how they were registered, how they were counted. And for the longest time, you didn't know who the president was going to be. Was it Bush or was it Gore? And after they, did several recountings, and in the end, to the Democrats' chagrin, Bush was declared the winner. And you didn't really hear much about Gore after that. Really, no. He was done.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing... I feel like people talk about Al Gore now. It's more... I feel like the presidential election doesn't even get talked about anymore. It's just about more of, climate change stuff with him. If you talk about Al Gore, that's rarely about the election anymore.
That's what he became famous for.
Well, I'm thinking we'll end there. Because, the next thing, we're already in 2001. And by 2001, you're effectively hitting modern history. You know what I mean? And I have a fair memory of things post-2001. Like, I remember 9/11. I remember all this stuff. But, yeah. It's, I thought that was,
Are we still on?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I was going to say, you probably got sick of watching me and your mother watching it day after day. Watching 9/11, watching the buildings, trade centers come down, and now that was the terrorists made good on their initial 1993
attack
attempt to take us out, and they took us out. They hit the jackpot, collapsed the buildings. And they weren't even necessarily trying to take the buildings down. They just wanted to kill as many people as they could. Yeah. They killed as many people as they could, took the buildings down, and America got a lot more vigilant on security to the United States.
Until this day, we're still like that. That actually, let me ask you about that. This will be we'll do 9/11 will be the last thing we hit. Mm-hmm. I want to know, because I mentioned this to my students once about how. They, especially my students, have legitimately grown up in a security state. There are cameras everywhere, all this stuff. And I was like, that's not normal.
CCTV.
That's not the way it used to be.
No.
One thing I'm curious about, can you tell me about what it was like getting on a plane before 9/11? Because the TSA didn't exist.
How was it getting on a plane?
Yeah, because there was no TSA. What was the security?
Security was pretty lax. You were checked. It was more of a visual thing. So you look okay. Does it not look? We weren't anticipating the debacle that was coming. But no, there was no TSA. You weren't everything with every single bag, every single tube of toothpaste, every single bottle of a shampoo. They check everything out now. Didn't exist. And we had been pretty lucky up to that point. They weren't able to breach airport what security existed. But
All right, and there's another phone call, but we're going to end on that note. Thanks for coming on, and before this annoying phone ringing sound pisses everyone off. But talk to you later. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.